Coming up next, Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary with your host, Chris Andre. At 10:15, we'll hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11, Rabia Yemin hosts The Digital Divide, analyzing how to use science, medicine, and technology to benefit society and keep it from harming us. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not currently a member, you can rectify that at kboo.fm. Click where it says Donate Today.
KBOO is proud to co-sponsor and broadcast live from the 2014 Safeway Waterfront Blues Festival. The 27th annual festival will take place July 3rd through the 6th, 2014, at Tom McCall Waterfront Park. It will feature Greg Allman, Los Lobos, Lee Fields, and The Expressions among the 100-plus acts that will perform over the four-day festival. The 27th annual Waterfront Blues Festival will benefit the Oregon Food Bank. More information on artists, tickets, and the KBOO broadcast of the festival can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Today is June 13th, Friday, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, because you make it that way, at 90.7 FM or kboo.fm on the web. A few headlines. First, we're going to be speaking with a returning guest. Steve Hone is joining us to talk about this new North Dakota ethics law that is potentially involving David Petraeus and a suspicious fracking trip. Money, again, is flowing a little bit more freely than the actual oil that's driving it at the moment. But we'll hear more about that from Mr. Horn shortly, as soon as we get through a few headlines here. Yesterday morning, by this time, everyone knows, Portland police shot a man with a crowbar. No, they didn't shoot him with a crowbar, but still, results were the same. Dead man exonerated police. This was out near the Springwater Corridor in Southeast Foster. The man, of course, was shot dead after he attacked officers with a crowbar. The information officer, Pete Simpson of the Portland Police, said that he's always trotted, poor Simpson, he's always trotted out to explain. He's the guy that has to do the splaining after these incidents. Simpson said that with its string of shootings, this has been a distressing week. Really? For the police? Think about how we feel as citizens walking around not knowing if we look suspicious or not. I personally own crowbars. I own scythes. I own machetes, for God's sakes. In any case, Simpson said that the police officer fatally shot the man in the Springwater Corridor Trail after he swung a crowbar at officers who were investigating an assault and attempted robbery yesterday morning. Two officers arrived at the scene of the robbery and spoke with the man who said he'd been assaulted, but nothing of his was taken. This obviously is a small incident that resulted in a loss of life. Again, his life becomes so cheap. It shouldn't be cheap anywhere, but it seems the price is going down, down, down. Meanwhile, the price of oil in various shapes and forms, mostly fracked at this point, that price seems to go up, up, up. And the President Obama visited a Sioux reservation. This is, again, North Dakota and South Dakota. These are parts of the country that in the past didn't make headlines, but they seem to be constantly in rotation now. In the annual Flag Day celebration at Standing Rock Sioux Reservation, Barack Obama made his first visit to Indian country as president. He went there to have a look at the Associated Press describes as, get this, this is a quote, often bleak conditions on tribal lands. I don't know whether bleak quite covers it. The reservation that the president visited straddles the border between North Dakota and South Dakota. About 1,000 people who live there struggle with lack of housing. This is in the Dakotas. It's incredibly cold. Winter brings with it temperatures in the minus 20s and minus 30s, even colder. So lack of housing, serious. Health care, very, very serious. Education, critical and utterly overlooked, among and other problems, problems with addiction, problems with alcohol, all of the stereotyped problems, which, of course, arise because of lack of basics, health care, housing, education. The president and Michelle Obama are scheduled to visit the place today. There's an annual event called Flag Day Celebration. Sad in the depth of the irony there. Well, prez on the range, where the fear and the poverty stay and addictions abound and booze can be found any time of the night or the day. And U.S. District Court Judge Stanwood Duval threw out Kurt Mix's obstruction of justice conviction, saying that remarks a jury forewoman overheard outside of the courtroom influenced the verdict. BP! They can't stay out of the news either. No matter how hard BP attempts to keep a low profile, the very fact every time some representative of that company opens its mouth, out comes something that incriminates BP even further. The company knows that it's responsible. They know they're liable. Give it up. Prosecutors said that Mix deliberately deleted text messages to and from a supervisor and a BP contractor to stymie a grand jury's investigation of the oil spill. The defense had argued that a forewoman in the December trial told a then-deadlock jury that she'd heard statements affirming her view that Mix was guilty. She overheard on an elevator that people in addition to Mix were facing trial. Prosecutors and defense attorneys agreed that other jurors never heard the substance of the forewoman's information because they stopped her before she shared it. Stop me before I leak again. We're waiting to see if we could speak We've got Steve Hwan on the line to talk about something we introduced yesterday that is that was written up. There's a piece in the Smog blog, and we'll give you all the information how to go and read that in full. And we'll put links to that, of course, on the KBOO website. Steve Hwan, as many listeners know, a familiar voice on Air Cascadia, is an extraordinary investigative reporter because, for one thing, Mr. Hwan investigates things that others are not. He finds things that you will definitely not be apprised of anywhere else. This, though, is part of a part three. Former CIA director David Petraeus' late April trip out to the Bakken shale oil fracking fields. Everybody's visiting the Dakotas these days, Steve. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good to be back. Thanks for the kind words. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you for the amazing job that you do. So, okay, everybody's at the heading for the Dakotas. What brought David Petraeus, the disgraced former CIA director? What's he doing up there?
Well, David Petraeus now works at private equity firm Giant Colbert Kravis Roberts, also known as KKR, where he got a job almost immediately after leaving the CIA. There's an article in the Wall Street Journal that kind of came out not too long after he got that job and explained how he got it. Basically, he knew Henry Kravis, who's one of the namesakes of Colbert Kravis Roberts, and that he's a major donor to the Republican Party. He met Kravis through the Council for Foreign Relations, where he was an active participant. Kravis is also an active participant, so they met that way, and he was offered the job within days of him resigning. And so he's been there since 2013, kind of quietly, I would say, for the most part, not really made any big headlines in terms of what he's been doing at KKR. The first big headline was just that he got the job at KKR. And Petraeus is also a side note, sidebar, and he's an adjunct professor at USC, at CUNY Honors College, City University of New York Honors College in New York City, and also at Harvard, where he actually met Paul Broadwell originally. So he has adjunct professorships at all of those schools. But KKR, what I did was I noticed that he had made a trip out to North Dakota that was publicized in a press release. I just caught it, and I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. What's he doing in North Dakota? And I think it may have just mentioned as an aside that he visited the oil fields there, and I think one of the other press releases mentioned that he visited the National Guard, but it wasn't really comprehensive, and it didn't really explain really what he was up to. It was just very surface level.
No, alas, it was not about the National Guard. No, David Chase is definitely no money there, so he just kept moving along.
Right. Yeah, right, and so he... He went there, and I just decided to do some open records statute requests, as North Dakota calls their Freedom of Information Act law. And so I decided to basically do open records statute requests at every agency that KKR would have interacted with during that trip, and most specifically the North Dakota Treasury Department, which was the one who organized the whole thing. And what this has led to is a three-part investigative series that revealed a lot of things that I was kind of shocked about. I didn't really expect it to be a three-part series when I did the request, but it turned out to be just a big story of A, kind of corruption, basically, B, an interesting story of how these institutionalized entities like the like retirement funds, pension funds, how they interact with folks like KKR. But it's also a story of what Petraeus' role at KKR is and how he opens up investment opportunities for them, you know, both around the country and around the world, just by his, both by his namesake, because he's David Petraeus. Everyone wants to get him, you know, powerful people feel important when they meet with David Petraeus, but also, he has these skills. He wrote the Counterinsurgency Field Manual. He has basically the whole purpose of the Counterinsurgency Field Manual is to convince populations to do things in a way that the United States wants them to do things. So he has these, he wrote it, he studied it his whole life, so he has these people skills that can convince people to do things that he wants. So KKR in this trip actually opened up potentially a huge business opportunity for themselves through Dave Petraeus. They may soon, they didn't confirm it with me, but what I kind of concluded in part three was that it looks like they may soon tap into the North Dakota Oil Legacy Fund, which is this, by 2017, it's expected to be a pot of money worth over $5 billion. It's being overseen by the State Investment Board of North Dakota, which the treasurer is a board member of. And remember, the treasurer's office organized this whole thing. And where the corruption comes in is that the treasurer, when they went from the oil field in Watford City, North Dakota, to the National Guard meeting in Bismarck, the treasurer was actually on a plane, a private plane chartered by KKR. She had to get a legal clearance to the Attorney General's office. And in doing that, sort of the whole premise of it was that, well, the State Investment Board has absolutely no, as of now, we don't know of any sort of business between the Investment Board and KKR. Well, the reality was the next day, Petraeus and KKR representatives had a meeting with the State Investment Board. And the reality is also what I've learned from the records is that in July, the people from the State Investment Board, the highest people, the chief investment officer and the deputy chief investment officer, are flying out to New York City to talk about potential business opportunities. And so they wouldn't tell me, I mean, to round it all off, they wouldn't tell me, they wouldn't confirm that this had to do with the oil and gas legacy fund. But what I found in research...
It's not the National Guard, that's for sure. Thank you so much. We're out of time. We'll put links to this, to the three parts of this story, because it is absolutely shocking. I guarantee you'll blow the top of your head off when you put the pieces together and think about now, as if it's bad enough what's going on with that the Bakken shale oil situation. Now we have the full force of the CIA in there. This has been Air Cascadia for Friday, June 13th, 2014. Sam Parrish engineered the show today. Thanks for that, Sam. Kathleen Stevenson's a KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre.